This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. I didn't actually plan it this way, and maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's New Year's Eve, so Happy New Year, everyone. I trust that this next year will be wonderful for you. We'll talk about New Year's Eve stuff in a minute. Anyways, let's see. This past week, the VeinWorks stand, I picked up more of them this week. I should be picking up more early next week. I have enough to launch. And so it looks like Monday morning, if not sooner, we're going to be open for business. Finally. Yay. So it has been a long road to get to this point. But I've got all the pieces in place. You know, I've had an uptick in the number of people actually reserving stands recently. Excuse me. So I think we're all in place, and we're just going to give this a try and see how this goes. For the first little bit here, I will be doing everything myself, just because I want to make sure that all the processes are in place and all of it makes sense. And then if it gets to the point where that starts bogging me down, then certainly there are options to branch out. I've really been enjoying, the 4-hour work week by, I can't remember his name, Terry Ferris, something very, very, I can't, anyways, 4-hour work week. I've really been enjoying it. I did finish scanning it today, because I was interested in my daughter and son-in-law reading it so that we can make some decisions about what we want to do with Knit Central. We have 200 episodes now, and we will be running out of episodes as far as the new ones that are getting published to the website on January 5th, I think. What I have suggested to Liz and Alan is that we treat that as the 2010 season. There are 200 nitpicks out there. It is the 2010 season. And we will just kind of go from there. We have a couple of different options of what we could do next, but we have enough of them in the can now, as the saying goes, that there are other things we can do. And the whole strategy of putting them up and hoping people will come and find them, obviously, is not a great internet strategy, so we need another strategy, and the 4-hour work week has certainly given me some ideas, and so I want them to read the 4-hour work week, and then we'll make some decisions as to what we're going to do with that whole project. It has been fun to do. It has been fun to work with my daughter, and it's been very, very enjoyable. Now we just have to see if we can actually turn it into something that can make some money. So, because it's always fun to do things that are fun, but there are enough things to do that sometimes you just have to kind of look and say, does this make any money? And if it doesn't, let's go do other fun things that make us some money. So we'll see how that goes. I did have a kind of an interesting afternoon, and since I have said in the past that I will be happy to tell you about the kinds of decisions that we make in this little VeinWorks stand business and go through the process of how we make that those decisions, I thought it might be interesting just to quickly rehearse one of those decisions that we were going through. By the way, it's episode 92. 92 episodes of driving home. Unbelievable. So during the manufacturing, Springfield Workshop is doing the manufacturing for me. The acrylic mirrors come with plastic protective film. It's not very hard to peel them off, but because of the way the VeinWorks stand is constructed, it's difficult to peel off the plastic once the mirrors are in the stand. Early on, I had a decision to make as to whether or not I would just package the mirrors separately inside the box and then have the customer assemble the stand. As it turned out, because of the way the packaging worked out, the mirrors were really not in any danger of being scratched. And I always like a product that you can just open up and go with, that you don't have to be reading through and some assembly required. Yeah, I'm sure you've had those types of things before. So because of that, I had decided that it would be better just to go ahead and assemble the stands. That meant there were really two ways to deal with the mirrors. One way would be to start peeling back the plastic and then just let the customer rip it off the rest of the way, or just strip it off to begin with and then load them. My initial mirrors that I had gotten, the plastic film on those was quite difficult to remove. You really had to tug on it. And because of that, it was possible, as you were trying to remove that plastic, to pop it right out of the stands. Well, so when I had talked to Springfield Workshop, I had said, let's just go ahead and peel the plastic off them. And I was quite pleasantly surprised to discover, when I picked up the mirrors, I tried a couple of them, that the plastic really did come off quite easily. So I thought, well, hey, this will work out. And even Springfield Workshop noted the fact that the plastic really came off easily. It was easy for their workers. So I had ordered the first set of singles and twin packs and had got them back, did a quality assurance check on some of them. All the pieces were there. Everything was good there. But I did notice that some of the mirrors had fingerprints on them. Not a high percentage, some. I cleaned some of them. They cleaned up just fine, no problem. At that point, I could have possibly said, okay, well, there doesn't seem to be any harm done, and even if there is, you'll just have to replace those mirrors, not that big of a deal. But then I started thinking, well, maybe since it's so easy to peel off the mirrors, peel off the plastic on the mirrors, maybe we can go back to that idea of just peeling them off a little bit and then inserting them. And so I talked to Springfield Workshop about trying to do that, that the smaller mirror we would peel back a significant amount, stick it in, and then we'd take the larger mirror and just peel back a corner. Then I picked up the second shipment and started playing with that and discovered that, in fact, sometimes the plastic film can sort of lay back down on the mirror. It was hard to tell that the mirrors were there or that the plastic film was there. And I know just from my own experience of having ordered acrylic mirror once, I didn't realize it had a plastic film on it. It was my wife that said, well, did you try taking the plastic film off? And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. So then I was concerned, all right, so now I'm sending these out to customers. It's going to have, excuse me. It's a little later at night than I usually record this. It's going to have this plastic on it, and are people going to pull it out and say, wow, these are terrible mirrors, this doesn't even work, you know, and so then the question was, do we try to get them to fold down and crease them harder, or do we just abandon that and just have the plastic ripped off the mirrors? And I talked to my wife and talked to my kids about it. We thrashed around a bunch of different scenarios, and we finally decided that it probably would be better just to take the plastic off. And really, the determining factor there is, if you just take the plastic off, people can get to trying it out sooner. This is a very simple product. It's meant to be really, really simple and easy. And any impediment that you throw in a customer's way just slows that down. I'm very clear on the instructions that you open up the box, you clean the mirrors, and then you use it, but I gave away some as Christmas presents, and the fact is that people are just going to open the box, blow on the mirrors a little bit, and then they're just going to use it. They're not going to try to get the mirrors squeaky clean before they use it, because they're going to want to see if it works. So having that extra step of peeling the plastic off really, you know, I think it just gets in the way. However, and so then when I went back to Springfield Workshop for the last set, the first thing I told them was, okay, first of all, you did exactly what I asked you to do. And then I showed them what was happening. And then we talked about it. And I called them later. I said, you know what? Let's just take off the plastic altogether. If there's a problem with that approach, I'll just deal with it with returns and those kind of things, and we'll be fine. So once I'd had a chance to see it, it was much, much easier to make the decision. Where I think I had made my mistake in even attempting to leave the plastic on was I had prepared a model with the plastic on, but with a very proscribed and exact procedure. I had bent down the corner, creased it very carefully, bent down another corner, creased it very carefully. And I had not actually gone through all those instructions with Springfield Workshop. And so what I was looking at as a prototype was physically different than the instructions that I had given them. And so that was actually my fault. So the final big batch that we're putting through of the stock that I will have when I launch, or shortly after I launch, that sizable batch, we're just going to do it without the plastics. And what I decided to do after that was, there was a good possibility that customers might get confused if they got one of the few that had the plastic still on it. And I had a couple of things I could do there. I could put it in the fax and have the customer have to come to the website, ask about why aren't the mirrors very shiny. Hopefully they'd stumble across the fax and realize that. Instead of doing all that, I just did some research on the internet, found a company that does stickers, paid like $75 for them to expedite a order of stickers for me and ship it to me. They came in today. They came in yesterday. And, you know, I just went through the ones that were part of the second shipment, and I put a sticker on every box that says, important, please remove the plastic film before using the Vainware stand. So the boxes have a yellow sticker on them. So that should get communicated to the customer what they need to do to make the stand work without me having to open every single box, take the plastic off, and then reseal every single box. So the determiner there for the decision was what's simplest and easiest for the customer, for the majority of them. Then for the subset that has the plastic on, how do we solve that without just driving ourselves crazy? And the solution was get stickers. So it'll be interesting to see now, as I send these things out, if I get more problems that I encounter because the plastic isn't off the mirrors than I get with the plastic still off the mirrors. Right. Excuse me, I've got a little fog in my throat today. So I'm actually doing some real-time test marketing on this first set, because some of them will have plastic, some of them won't, and I'll be able to tell which do and which don't because they'll have the sticker on them. So this should be interesting to see how this all works out, and I'll just do my best to make it right. If there are any problems along the way. So, at this point, it looks like we are going to launch on Monday. As I said, if not sooner, I am considering just going ahead and putting the order page out there tomorrow after I send the email out to all my reserve people and tell them, hey, the reserves are out there, you know, so if you'd like to come order, thank you very much for your interest in the Vainworks stand. So that's all puttering along. As I mentioned at the beginning, and I'll have to make this fairly quick because I'm almost home. As I mentioned at the beginning, it is New Year's Eve. And just in the name of courtesy, I wish all of you a very, very happy New Year. I trust that this New Year will be a great year for you. I have no plans tonight to stay up until New Year's. I personally just go to bed like it was any other day, because I have tried to gear my life towards treating every day the same. And the reason that I do that, and I'm not against people having New Year's parties, and I'm not against any of those kinds of stuff, but for me, I want to get into a mode of treating every day the same. And that is that every day is the best day of my life. That every day I'm learning something new. That all the things that I've learned in the bygone days are benefiting me today. That all the decisions that I've made leading up to that day are benefiting me. That there is not a compounding effect because of the poor decisions that I've made, where every day is getting worse. And I can honestly say that every day is one day closer to Jesus. You know, that doesn't mean that the days don't have their challenges. They do. I apparently did a silly thing about 4 or 5 weeks ago when I was trying to hook up QuickBooks to my bank account, even though I've used Quicken with my bank account, my personal banking, for years, and it's worked great. I was trying to hook up QuickBooks to one of my small business accounts, and that has just turned really interesting on me, because it took 2 weeks, and then there was a problem, and then there was more problems, and then I couldn't get into my bank account, and it's just gone wild on me. And there have been several days when I've spent an hour on the phone with the support people trying to work this out, and there's some weird thing that has happened. But we'll get that worked out. I spent an hour this morning on the phone, and then a half hour this afternoon on the phone, trying to get that worked out. But that doesn't mean that it was a bad day. I'm going to check on my mail. I don't know if we got any mail today. We did get a little mail today. But that does not mean that it was a bad day. It's just a day that has some challenges in it. And that's all right. Some days have challenges in them. But every day is a day when I can use those challenges to learn something more about God. And usually in every day, there's some place, some time in there where I go, oh, yeah, there it is. There's some kind of affirmation that this is a great way to live. For instance, tonight I got a chance. It was just my daughter and I. Because of some other circumstances, my son-in-law had someplace else to be, and my wife was a little tired from all the holiday festivities, and so she decided to stay home. So it was just my daughter and I, and we just had a really nice dinner together. And as we're sitting there in Ruby Tuesdays, having our salads, having a very nice dinner, an older lady walks by, and she says to me, "Hi, how are you?" And I looked up at her, and I recognized her. I couldn't quite place her, but then she said something about Walmart, and I realized that she was one of the checkout people at Walmart. And I try to go to the Walmart, the same day, the same time, every week, so that the same set of people are there, so that I can build relationships. And she came by and said hello, and I said hello, and I introduced her to my daughter and my granddaughter, and we chatted for a little bit, and just had the nicest conversation. And as she walked away, I thought, see, I love living this way. I love living in such a way that I know that the people that I encounter understand that I love them, and that I know that there are people just like me, and that I'm going to treat them with kindness and compassion. And it's interesting the way people will go out of their way and respond to that. I think it was last Saturday I was in Walmart, pushing around my little cart, and a guy said something about, "How are you?" And I looked up, and I recognized, I said, "Good, sir, how are you?" And it was the manager from Bob Evans, because we typically, I eat with a friend there on Tuesdays and eat with another friend on Wednesdays. And over the course of that consistency and talking to people and smiling at people and remembering details about their lives and bringing those details back up so they understand that I understand they're people just like me and they should be treated with kindness. He said, by the way, he said, you left your invention. I'd taken a stand in with me to show one of my buddies. He said, you left your invention on the table there and we have it back in the office for you. I said, oh, thanks. And then I was going along, I think it was Tuesday, and I got a phone call. And I got a phone call from one of the waitresses there at Bob Evans who was on duty. And she said, hey, this is so-and-so from Bob Evans. And I said, oh, hey, how are you? And she said, good. She said, your stand is down here. I said, yeah, you know, I need to get down there and get that. I will get by today and I'll get that. But the reason she even had my phone number was because months and months and months and months ago, she was considering donating a kidney to her mother-in-law. And, you know, she was a little concerned about it, I could tell. And we had a good enough relationship built at that point that she was willing to talk to us about that. And not only to talk to us about that, but to plop down beside me and we had a word of prayer with her. And told her at that point, you know, I gave her my phone number at that point, and I said, look, I said, you know, if you're going to go in and have this operation, let us know. You know, we'll come down and we'll visit you in the hospital, and I think what you're doing is an amazingly kind thing. And so she's kept my phone number all this time. Not for any untoward reasons. But she thought enough of me and realized my stand was down there that she was willing to call me and say, hey, we've got that if you want to come by and get it. Yeah, this is a great way to live. But it's really focused the same way a lot of religious schools of thought are focused, and that is living today. You know, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough troubles today to be concerned with. But Jesus was very much someone who lived in the present. The Hindu way of saying it is be here now. To understand that this moment is really the only chance you have to make a decision. Because once this moment passes, you can't do anything about yesterday. And you can't certainly do anything about tomorrow. So while it is New Year's Eve, and I didn't necessarily intend to do a New Year's Eve podcast, it just kind of worked out that way. If there's anything that I could encourage you tomorrow to do, despite the fact that it's January 1st, it would be to encourage you to live tomorrow. Make it your best day ever. Make good decisions. And then the day after tomorrow, live that day and make good decisions on that day. And do some of the things that you already know would be good things to do. Don't get caught up in making New Year's resolutions, because, you know, most people, they don't keep New Year's resolutions, because then, you know, it gets to be February and they haven't done anything, and then their flesh tells them, well, it's all over now. Whole year's gone. No point actually. Blah, blah, blah. You know, if you resolve to do anything, just tomorrow, resolve to make it a day where you do the things that you already know are the best things to do for you. And then when you wake up the next day, do the same thing. And when you wake up the next day, do the same thing. And I will guarantee you that as you layer day upon day upon day upon day upon day upon day of doing that, there will be a momentum that builds in your life that will make you stronger, that will fill you with joy, and that will bring about abundance. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.